Hello and welcome. You're listening to a very special fundraising edition of Word of Mouth News on CKLN 88.1 FM, broadcasted out of Ryerson University in Toronto. Today is Friday, November 19th, 2010. I'm Yogi Acharya. I'm joined in the studio by Sheila Hewlett, and we'll be joined with our special guests, Rebecca Granowski-Larson and Rose from the band Lal in a bit. Today's show is focused specifically on the importance of community radio and the need to support through listening and by making donations. You can pledge your support today for community-controlled radio by calling us at 416-345-8810. That's 416-345-8810. The first four callers will receive a limited vintage edition of a No One Is Illegal t-shirt. We have an excited edition of No One Is Illegal radio show today where we'll be talking to community media activist Rebecca Granowski-Larson and the artist community organizer Rosina Kazi. Then at 6:30, stick around for OCAP Radio, who will be taking the mic, bringing you the latest news from the front lines of poor people's struggles right here in Toronto. But first, the headlines with Sheila Hewlett.
And actually, before the headlines, we have to correct the phone number you can call in order to make your donations. The number is 416-595-1478. That's 416-595-1478. So the first four callers get a No One Is Illegal t-shirt. The headlines, word of mouth news. The liberal research group Center for American Progress has found that effective boycotts and organizing against SB 1070 has turned off travelers and kept plenty of conference and conventions out of Arizona to the tune of $141 million in lost revenue. The Canadian government has finally agreed to sign the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous People. However, it is clear to many who have fought tirelessly for this to happen that the move is not being taken seriously by the Harper government. In related news, Prime Minister Stephen Harper's defiant views on democracy and the environment have exploded together in one Parliament Hill uproar as an unelected conservative senator, as unelected conservative senators killed a climate change bill passed by a majority of elected MPs in the Commons. At least 17 people were injured yesterday during protests staged by laid-off workers at the Canadian mining company Barrick Gold in the town of Pueblo Viejo, to demand severance payments. Demonstrators were met with violence and shotgun fire as the injured were reportedly taken to different medical centers in Kutui, I believe, where most of the victims had shotgun wounds. The protest by Barrick Gold ex-workers had the support of many community organizers in the area and forced the temporary suspension of mining operations. And as a First Nation blockade of work on the Mount Milligan open pit mine site continues for a second day, the mine site owner threatened legal action against the blockaders. The blockade was set up Monday afternoon by Howard Sam and Wayne Sam, holders of adjoining KEOs, traditional First Nation land holdings. The proposed mine would be deep, wide pit mine, straddling the boundary between the two KEOs.
You are listening to a special fundraising edition of No One Is Illegal Radio here on CKLN 88.1 FM. We do have the phone lines open at 416-595-1478. And you can give us a call to pledge a donation in support of the show. CKLN is one of the few places on the airwaves in which community voices can talk about the issues on the ground and on the front lines of the G20 struggle. The organizing of migrant women in Teesdale, the fight for queer refugees, and more. But to stay on the air, we need your support, so call in at 416-595-1478. The phone lines are open, and the first four donors will receive vintage No One Is Illegal t-shirts, and you will qualify for the grand prize, which is a volunteer abroad and travel cuts trip to Peru, and it's a value of $1,400. So let's go to our interview.
Okay, so we're back in the studio, and I'm here joined here today by Rebecca Granowski-Larson. Rebecca is a community activist and especially involved in community radio. She was involved right here in Ryerson University with the Ryerson Free Press and is currently involved at York University with the York U Free Press. So welcome, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So Rebecca, maybe I know I briefly mentioned about some of your community media projects, but can you tell us a bit more about the things that you have been involved with and the York U Free Press that you are involved with now?
Sure. I'm actually shifting a little bit more to the Alternative Media Center, the Toronto Media Co-op that was started recently, and it was most active during the G20. I have been a longtime advocate for campus media, and particularly critical campus media, because I find that there tends to be a dearth of very critical coverage on our campuses, with the exception of campus radio, I would actually say, which is why I would encourage you to pledge, because I feel like campus radio is often, perhaps because it also includes the communities that are affected by things that happen in universities, tends to have very good critical coverage, and we sometimes don't see that reflected in campus newspapers. But I think universities should be encouraging a far more critical analysis than they currently are, which is why I would encourage people to really step up into campus media.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just briefly touched upon the Toronto Media Co-op that you're sort of, or the Alternative Media Center that you're getting more involved with now. And we know the Alternative Media Co-op was involved pretty heavily during the G20, where they provided alternative coverage to what was actually happening. And I remember watching the news that time and just watching video after video of cop cars burning, and that's the only thing they were choosing to focus on. Can you tell us a bit more about the kinds of things that the alternative media did during June when the G20 were here?
Yeah, like it was pretty stunning sometimes, because it would be surreal going from protests where people were just getting beaten up by the police, and then seeing the coverage being all about these like violent cop car burning protesters, which was pretty stunning when you consider the level of brutality that we were seeing every day, and the fact that you had the largest mass arrest in Canadian history. You had over 1,000 people arrested. You had incredible allegations of threats of sexual harassment against women. You had the mass criminalization of dissent in the form of trumped up charges against people who are basically just doing community activism and organizing the logistics, the childcare, the transportation for people to get to the G20, being treated as criminals right now and facing very serious criminal sentences. And the perspective from the mainstream media has been very despicable, I thought, overall. It was also interesting because for the first time you also did see the media being attacked in a way that they aren't used to being attacked by police. And so for the first time you would see from the National Post and the Toronto Sun fairly critical coverage. It was actually the Toronto Sun's beat reporter, who usually is the most rah-rah cop person you'll ever see, Joe Warmington, who actually got detained and was the first person that called for a public inquiry. So for one of those times, it was kind of like Hurricane Katrina, where you saw for once the mainstream media getting really angry to see outright outrageous violations of human dignity and actually getting angry for once, which is what the media should be doing but is often not doing in the current context of corporate-controlled media. But yeah, so I think the Alternative Media Center has played a great role in actually helping activists, being not an adversary to activists, but actually participating and recognizing the fact that there are injustices in society and that they're actually taking a bias for people who are oppressed, right? Mm-hmm. And not pretending this false neutrality that often happens in the media. So,
and absolutely. And as we were talking about before, as the corporate media, driven by profit, continues to sort of use up space, the space for community activists and for just community people living in community working on issues that are local to Toronto have fewer and fewer spaces, I think, to actually voice those things in a meaningful way. And I think radio stations like CKLN go a long way in actually giving those communities voices. Even No One Is Illegal Radio has been on air, and we've been able to actually bring to light some of the things that went on, that go on along migrant justice struggles here in Toronto. Just to step away from the topic a little bit, Rebecca, or maybe not entirely even, we know you did some work in Guatemala with community media projects. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. So I worked with Entre Mundos in Guatemala, and I worked, I spent a bit of time in Honduras, which is where it became very evident to me the complete importance of alternative media, because you saw a complete repression after the coup of every critical media outlet. Almost everything is owned by oligarchs there, but you had El Libertador, which is the only pretty much media. It's a monthly newspaper that would have its journalists were beaten and they'd be kidnapped by security agents and beaten for the work they were doing. You also had radio stations that were firebombed. The same with TV stations. Everything was closed after the coup, and it really it was so incredible to see the community movements against the shutdown of their local media, the few critical outlets that were, and people were just crying and saying, like, this is our voice. This is our only voice that we have right now, because the media was just, it was like completely burst in like Cold War rhetoric, where it was just saying that every protester was either a terrorist or a Chavez-sponsored, like, you know, paid agent, and that every time a protester was killed, they would say, they would Photoshop the blood out of the images of dead protesters and stuff, and they would criminalize them all. And so it really became obvious to me why it is so important to have a not completely capitalist, racist media at your disposal when you have situations like that. And it happens in Canada too. Like, we have a very, like, if you look at the Tamil coverage, it's just been appalling. And it continues to be. Like, the saddest thing I've seen recently was during the Tamil protest last year, was a man from Rwanda who said that he watched every day as people, like, you know, the people who did not have a lot of money, who would give up their job for 3 months to go protest every day in the streets and shut down roads. And he would just say, Canadian society, like, it made him feel less guilty about the fact that he didn't feel like he had done enough during his own genocide in his own country. And he was saying, for the first time, he felt relieved because he thought that the Canadian society was so racist that they wouldn't do about it anything about it, even if there were people protesting every day. And it was a very sad commentary on how the way our media frames and reports things, and you also see it in Palestine and lots of places, and it just reinforced the need for really critical alternative media that actually represents non-mainstream, European interests in our society.
And just to sort of pick up on what you were saying to Rebecca, I remember during the G20 when they released pictures of those five people who they called, or the top 20 that the police first released pictures of, at least the first five of them were people of color, right? Mm-hmm. Even though in a convergence that we saw was predominantly of not of people of color. Mm-hmm. So like that completely uncritical reporting of what the sort of government and police put out is really concerning, I think. And even that rhetoric of spewing out of terrorists and those kinds of things is really scary. We want to remind people once again that today is the fundraising fest here at CKLN 88.1 FM, and we are asking people to call in and pledge their support for community media. The phone number again to phone in is 416-595-1478. That's 416-595-1478. And we want to remind people again that we're giving away four vintage No One Is Illegal t-shirts to the first four people that call into the show. I think that's about it, I think, for the interview. I think we'd like to thank you very, very much for joining us in the studio, and especially for all the work that you do with community media. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to headlines. The second part of the headlines. This week at a press conference in Imokali, the coalition of Imokali workers at the Florida Tomato Growers Exchange signed an agreement to extend the CIW's fair food principles, including a strict code of conduct, a cooperative complaint resolution system, a participatory health and safety program, and a worker-to-worker education process to over 90% of the Florida tomato industry. After spending millions of dollars on the Olympic Village rather than addressing the housing crisis in Vancouver's downtown east side, the city announced that the Olympic Village was put into receivership on Wednesday, and city taxpayers won't know for several years whether they'll get the millions of dollars the city put into the project back. Ernst & Young assumed control of the $1 billion waterfront project that hosted athletes during the February Games and now has been rebranded as Millennium Water in an attempt to lure developers. An action organized by the OCAP Women of Etobicoke, a group mostly of Somali women from the Rexdale area, to disrupt a fancy fundraising dinner by MPP Sheikh Quadri, resulted in the Liberal Party members reading of a petition in Commons earlier this week in opposition to his own McGuinty government's cuts to the special diet. In a sign that Rob Ford will be tipping the city's gravy boat even further toward policing as the city's greatest and most bloated expense, newly elected Mayor Ford reaffirmed to the National Post his commitment to hire 100 more police officers in Toronto, saying, "You really can't have enough police." Demonstrations are planned against Ford's inauguration on December 1st at 12 p.m. at Nathan Phillips Square.
Yeah, you are listening to the headlines for No One Is Illegal Radio here on Friday, November 19th. We want everybody to get out the pledges here, so give us a call at 416-595-1478. Remember that community media actually brings out the real news and not the corporate news, so get your pledges out. We are joined here in studio today by a very special guest, Rosina Kazi. She is a longtime community activist and organizer and also the lead singer of the band Lal. Welcome, Rosina.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So I hear you guys have a new record that's about to drop. Is that true?
Finished, but won't drop for a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But be ready, hopefully.
Great. So, I mean, we're here today, we're talking about community media, and I think it's important to start to talk about some of the work that No One Is Illegal Radio has done, as well as the work that has been done in and around the various migrant communities in terms of really giving people media skills. And I'm wondering if you can talk just a bit about your knowledge and experience of what's been going on here in the city.
In terms of, like, what CKLM's been providing?
Yeah.
Or in terms of just happening in the city? Both. Well, it's really, really nice to have CKLN on the air, number one, back on the air. So people need to just call in at 595-1478 just to pledge, because I've been listening to CKLN for over 20 years, and it's always been a space for myself to not just learn about all kinds of music, but also learn about what's happening in the city in ways that you don't really hear on mainstream media. Not just from, you know, a second or third perspective, but first-hand perspective from communities who are really dealing with issues, anything from immigration to even the G20 stuff. It's like, even after all that happened, it's really important to get that information straight from people's mouths. And I think CKLN is probably the biggest example in this city for that kind of work. You know, CHRY and CIUT are there as well, but CKLN has always mandated to have social justice in their work. And I think without that, we're going to lose a voice in this city. So it's really important that people do call in support, not just because it supports independent artists, but it supports indie media. It supports voices that do not get heard and supported. And it's really important.
So some of the examples of that type of media were some of the shows that we've done in the past. And one of them included a really important show where we had to go out to Teesdale and work with Bengali women who have organized there into the South Asian Women's Rights Organization, and you know, develop skills in terms of how to set up interviews, how to set up the process that they went through, which was incredible, having a round table of women in the community talking about the issues that are affecting them, and building those media skills. And I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about sort of the importance of that building and how CKLN contributes to that.
Well, I can talk about it from the importance of, I think, from my experience of also being involved with campus radio, not just as a listener, but also as someone who's programmed, and as a woman who's basically come into a space like CKLN. I've basically volunteered and worked at all three stations. And to be able to come into a space and get the skills to work the board, to work the mic, to interview, those are skills that I didn't have to go to university for, and I'm not sure if if I could actually learn them at university. And so that really empowered me as somebody who was really into sound, especially as a woman, because there needs to be more women representing in media, not just from like a vocalist standpoint, but actually behind the board. So for me, that was like really important in my upbringing. In terms of other communities, I mean, we do a lot of work with sound, like workshops with sound. And the first thing that we tell you to do is look, if you want to do music, if you want to get involved, check out your campus radio station, because that's the first place you're going to get the skills and the community and the diversity of people to really sort of gain skills for free. Like, you're really getting that stuff for free. And so to do this work in places like Teesdale, this is a community, like my father's just moved to Crescent Town. And this is a community that a lot of people might not know is mostly Bangladeshi, or that there are issues that are happening in that community, but also this amazing, wonderful community that's in, it's by its, not by itself, but it's all the way in Vic Park. And there's a lot of crap going on in that neighborhood, you know, in terms of not the neighborhood itself, but what people are dealing with. So to hear and to know that people are going to Teesdale and teaching these women those skills is amazing, because it just takes it out of the community. And I'm from the Bangladeshi community, and it can be a very insular community. And for CKLN to sort of provide some kind of voice outside of just, you know, our own communities is huge. And then to make those interconnections amongst all of our communities, because those similar issues are happening not just in places like Crescent Town and Teesdale, but they're happening around the city, particularly around immigration, labor, and I've got, you know, my aunts are in social work as well, so I now I'm thinking I should really get them down here. And if there's social workers within that community and around the GTA who speak Bengali, you know, Urdu, Punjabi, and it's like I need to that now connect them and highlight their work within those communities. So I'm not sure if that answers the question.
No, it totally answers the question. And I think it's really important, particularly since, you know, the theme of the last municipal election is that there's this big window or divide between the downtown and the suburban areas. And that's not the whole truth, right? There's all these voices. They're speaking from the Vic Parks and the Rexdales and Jane and Finch, who are saying, you know, we don't support Rob Ford. We don't support this sort of racialization and sort of marginalization of our communities, yet there's no space for those voices to go forward, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So this is one of the few spaces, like OCAP Radio doing a lot of work with the OCAP Women of Etobicoke and the Somali community down there.
Yeah.
It's really critical, and people need to be able to support that stuff because it doesn't come cheap.
Yeah, and if CKLN is bridging that gap between these communities and creating a space where actually the potential of creating these community centers or radio stations within their own neighborhoods, like Flemington does that, Flemo Radio
yeah.
does that, that's so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, that really just takes all this crappy radio that's on air to just, you know, just it just for yeah. me, it's powerful because if I can listen to a radio station in my area and know what's going on, it's just amazing.
Yeah, no, and it's the same thing like Catch the Flavor Radio out of Regent Park. It's doing the same stuff. And so, you know, we got you on the show today particularly because we know that you've been so involved in community radio, been involved in community work as well as in the music scene. I'm wondering if you can make some of those links of why it's important for folks who, you know, they tune in to CKLN because they hear music and stuff that they wouldn't hear anywhere else. But what are the links between sort of this community media and the community indie music scene that we need to make?
Well, I think the big link, I'm going to plug the number again, 416-595-1478, just to make sure
Thanks.
That people do call in and support. Because without CKLN or Campus Radio across Canada, for independent bands like myself or LOL, or musicians, it's really difficult to get on mainstream radio, right? And sometimes we don't look at the corporatization of music and art.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've been pretty critical of since I've worked in the label industry. As activists or as people who think critically, sometimes we listen to shite music off shite labels,
yeah.
which is fine. But at the same time, CKLN is that place where you can walk in. I know half the DJs on CKLN. Because we've been listening for over 20 years. And
yeah.
we can walk in and give people music, and they play it. And we can't do that anywhere else,
no,
right? And
yeah.
at the same time, we can connect doing work with social justice and not being ridiculed for it. Because there has been, and you're seeing a change now with political art, but in terms of music, but I don't know if it's hip to be political now, but for a long time, people were scared to be political. They were afraid to talk about Palestine. They were afraid to talk about, you know, certain issues that would get them in trouble.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so this is a space that actually allowed us to connect all those things. You know, the art, the social justice aspect, the community building, the hands-on learn as you go, and actually really meet some good people. And so for us, we've built our careers on campus radio.
And so I know you said that you would be giving us a bit of a preview of a new song that you've been working on. I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind doing that. But before, I want to do plug it one more time, 416-595-1478. You should check it out. And thank you so much to Elliot Sheck, who came in with a huge donation. So once again, that number, follow Elliot's lead. It's 416-595-1478. And Rose is going to give us a little preview.
I'll give you a little preview, but before I do it, I might forget the words because it's brand new. But this is a chance. If you don't have a lot of money, if you've got $5, if you've got, you know, $200, this is a really good place to donate this money. This isn't it's not a $200 ticket to get into a fancy dinner. This is a place where your money is really going to, you know, even if you don't have a lot,
yeah.
give it, you know. So give CKLN a call and donate as much as you can or as little as you can.
Yeah.
Let's see if this works. Okay. This is kind of inspired by the G20 stuff that happened. I think many artists have been inspired. But let's see. I'm watching you, watching me, watching you, watching me, watching you, watching me. You hit bodies while we hit streets. Say it's for our protection. When was it just your decision? At least in this city, I feel I can do things. It's not always pretty, but something draws me. It's a feeling I can bear. The cracks, they are crowded, and screams, they are muted, but finally you feel free. But it always has been here. I'm watching you, watching me, watching you, watching me, watching you, watching me. You hit bodies while we hit streets. Say it's for our protection. When was it just your decision? So yeah, there's an idea.
That's amazing. That's such a good track. Is that going to be on the new disc? Or
that will be on the new disc. That actually looks at what happens in this city. It's happening in a lot of cities already where art is corporatized to a point where anything, or not just art, but anything that's critical of the government, basically you're under watch in a really heavy way. So we're kind of trying to make video work and music that talks about this world that so many people already live in. So.
Well, thank you, Rose. That was Rosina Kazi from the band Lal, and performing an amazing track from the upcoming album. Again, in support of CKLN 88.1 FM, Word of Mouth News here that's bringing the real news and not the corporate news. Again, the number's 416-595-1478, and thanks again, Rose, for being on the show.
Thank you.
You place the world on your shoulders and fight the good fight.